The scripture reading this evening will come from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 through 21. Genesis 50, 19 through 21. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them.
Good evening. Great to see everybody tonight. It's a pleasure to be here, and I feel we've had a great time of worship already so far, and enjoyed the singing and appreciate the prayers. It's just always such a joy to be here with you guys. I for all of my family, it's such a blessing. The older I get, there's one thing. Well, there's a lot of things I notice, but one thing I wanted to mention is just how much I start to appreciate the power of your perspective. And it's just, I've gotten to the point, it's almost like I can't overstate how important that is in our lives. And maybe I'll, of course, I hope I get wiser as time goes on, but it just, I'm almost to the point where I just think, you know, the things in our lives, it's not that they don't matter, but it matters so much more the way that we deal with it. That's really the determining factor in our lives. It's not always what happens, but just how we look at it. And that is something that, again, I just think is so powerful. So tonight I wanted to think about perspective. And usually, I should say there are times where the impetus for a lesson or how I want to present something, it usually comes down to like a phrase. There are a lot of times where there's just this phrase or this point that it just kind of sparks what I want to think about and to study about. And for this lesson, it was the phrase in our scripture passage, "meant it for good." And I just think there's something really, really powerful in that. And that there are things in our lives that happen that are tough or difficult, but, you know, God meant it for good. I wanted to share with you a story that I read about. Probably not true. I don't think it's true. I think it's just meant to be like something to kind of illustrate the power of perspective. The story goes, there was a shoe company years ago, and they wanted they sent out a couple different salesmen to Africa to kind of, you know, scout out, you know, potential areas to expand their business. They sent one to the East Coast and one to the West Coast of Africa. And after a while, they received word from the first salesman who said, this is hopeless. This is a terrible market because no one here wears shoes. Then they got message from the second salesman, said, this is a fantastic opportunity. There could not be a better market for us because no one here wears shoes. And it kind of illustrates that kind of glass half full, glass half empty kind of perspective that we can take on things. Same situation, but two people who look at it very, very differently. And so I wanted to begin thinking about that tonight by noting that there are things that we cannot control. And sometimes it's even the consequences of our actions that we cannot control. And, you know, I want to make a very clear distinction. It's not that our actions are things that we cannot control, because certainly those are things we can control. But we don't always have control of the things that happen afterward. And I think that's such an important thing to think about. Like, you know, I spend a lot of time around kids with my job, and I have kids. And a lot of teaching them about the consequences of their actions is just that. That notion that once you make this choice, a lot of times things are out of your hand, and you can't control what spirals from that. You know, I think that very, very, very few people intend to cause traffic accidents. But there are a lot of people who will drink and drive, who will, you know, distract themselves while they're driving. And again, like, we can control this. We can't control what happens after we make certain choices. The consequences sometimes get out of our hands. And once you've made a bad decision, you can't always stop what happens next. In Genesis chapter 50, I want to begin a few verses prior to where what was read for us this morning in verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." Here Joseph's brothers admit that they had done evil, and they were fearful that their past sins were about to be returned on them. When we consider it from their point of view, I think that's understandable. In the previous verses, we learned that their father, Jacob, had died and was now buried, and they feared that maybe the presence of their father was the only thing that was preventing retribution coming down upon them. We also read that Esau had the same thought, that he was going to wait until his father had passed before he would take revenge on Jacob, and that never actually came to pass. But we kind of see that notion of, well, as long, you know, the parent wouldn't want to see all this turmoil, but now that the parent is gone, we don't know how Joseph is going to respond to what we have done. And now that Joseph is in a position of power. Sin does have consequences. We're taught that the wages of sin is death. We know that sin causes a lot of harm in our lives, and we have all sinned. We do not have a way of unsinning. And by that, I mean we can't go back, we can't change our choices, we can't undo them. We can repent, we can seek forgiveness from the people we may have wronged. And of course, we have Jesus, who can be the remedy of washing away that sin. He took the guilt of that sin on the cross for us. But we really have to think about our choices, because we can't undo them once they are done. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. Paul writes that godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. When we think of our conscience and kind of the suffering that we feel when we do something that is wrong, there are a couple of different ways here that Paul says that can lead us. It can be godly, and that pain, that sorrow, that regret that we feel can lead us to repentance and bring us closer to God. Or we can let it destroy us. Worldly grief produces death. There was a very prominent atheist speaker who argued that there were no like statements of morality. Like there was nothing like a right and wrong moral statement that a Christian could make that an atheist couldn't also make. Now, I disagree with that because, I mean, honestly, not to get too far into a different subject, but I don't think an atheist can make any claims of morality and have a firm foundation upon which to put that. But even that aside, I think that manner of thinking, like, you know, I don't need God to tell me what is right and wrong. I know right and wrong. That ignores the fact that we were created with that conscience and with that feeling. That's not something that, you know, we can separate from our design and our creation. God designed us with these impulses of right and wrong. But there are times where you may not have even done anything sinful, and there is still suffering that we must endure. You've probably heard of something that's referred to as the serenity prayer. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, that's not from Scripture, but I think it's pretty good, and there are some good principles within that. There's a term called sphere of influence, where it's, you know, you imagine a sphere, and there are certain things within your sphere that you can touch and that you can have an effect on, but there are things that are beyond your reach that you have no control over. And so we see a lot of sin, or a lot of our sorrow sometimes comes from sin or the sin of others. And it may cause us grief because of that sin. But then there are a lot of things that are beyond our sphere, that are out of our control. And sometimes those cause us pain and sorrow as well. Job is, of course, a wonderful example. A large portion of the book of Job is three of his friends come to, I guess to comfort him, but a lot of what they say is basically, God is just. If you're receiving all of these bad things, you must have done something wrong. There's something that you did to deserve this, because God is just. And of course, we know that wasn't the case, but there was a lot of pain and turmoil that Job went through that was not related to a choice that he had made. In Matthew 5, Christ teaches that God makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. In 2 Timothy 2:3, we are taught that we will share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. There is an amount of suffering that we must endure whenever we live in a world that is fallen. And even though we know that difficult times will come, and that they're unavoidable, probably, in most cases, we're not going to live a life devoid of pain or grief or loss, we are to pray for good things. And that's why I want to continue in Genesis chapter 50. We see that Joseph's brothers had sinned, and there was suffering, and there was fear, and there was anxiety from that. Now we look at them and how they respond to it. Genesis 50, verse 16. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Now, I don't know that this is true. It kind of sounds like it's not true. I guess I don't know for sure, but it sounds like, not to make light of it, but like a note that a child would write and then sign their parents' name to it. Like, you know, please don't hold this sin against them, and then, you know, sign their father's name. But his brother, Joseph, wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." So even though they had sinned, they had done wrong, they were pleading for good things. And when we are suffering, or when we know we've done wrong, I think that's a natural inclination for the Christian, is to pray for good things. In James 5:13, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." When we face difficult times, we are taught to pray for good things. And I know that sounds maybe so obvious, it goes without saying that we pray for good things, but in the context of this lesson, I think it's really important, because what we're going to get to, what we're building to, is the power of perspective in our lives, and that even negative things can be meant for good. And so I think with that, you know, we are still taught to pray for good things, even though we can take bad things and turn them into something positive with the right perspective and with the right mindset. We are still to pray for good things. Christ himself prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Even our Savior prayed for something that he desired, But of course, he fell back on God's will. And whatever his father's will was, that's what he was willing to accept. And that's the attitude that he had. And then getting to our final main point is that no matter what happens, no matter what our suffering is, whether it's from sin or from circumstance or from someone else, whatever happens in this life, even when we pray for good things, we can have a perspective that God can use it for good. And that brings us to our scripture passage. Chapter 50 of Genesis, verse 19. But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to him. God is ultimately in control. And what an incredible relief that is. And I just love Joseph's statement here. Just the humility. Am I in the place of God? Am I to take vengeance on you? Am I to hold that? Am I in control of this large story, this narrative that we are a part of, that I would, you know, presume to take things into my own matter? God meant this for good, the things that you did for me. You meant it for evil, and that's not to say that it wasn't sinful, but God meant it for good. God can take those things and turn them into something good. He is so in control of our lives that he can even use our faults to work his incredible will. And there's a very long list here that I saw in a commentary. I won't read through all of it. But this kind of points out what Joseph was talking about, the way the people were kept alive. If he'd never gone to Egypt, he'd never been sold to Potiphar, he wouldn't have had the issues with Potiphar's wife, on and on. He never would have met the people whose dreams he interpreted. He never would have interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. There wouldn't have been the foreseeing of the famine, and how many lives would have been lost as a result of that. All because of the sin that Joseph's brothers committed against him. And I'm not claiming to have this grand, as Joseph said, I don't understand all of God's plan and how things work, but it's difficult. I don't believe that if Joseph's brothers hadn't sinned, that bad things would have happened. That's not what I'm trying to imply, that they needed to sin for those lives to be saved. But I think we see the way that God works in that. He does have that view of the entire story and the entire narrative, and he can work his will in spite of our faults. But I also think, you know, would those lives have been saved without Joseph's faith? Without his actions and his trust in God. So it's just incredible the way that God can work things for good in our lives. And on the other hand, just very briefly, sometimes there are things in our life I think that we look at as being good, as being valuable, as, you know, the answer to prayers, that can become stumbling blocks for us if we don't have that perspective. If we're not focused on the kingdom of God. I think most of us, you know, if we received a lot of wealth somehow, we would glorify God in that. And I think we should. I'm not saying that's not something that we should do. We should glorify God if we're blessed in those ways. But we also have to remember that, you know, with that comes temptation, and with that could come difficulty if our perspective is not focused on the kingdom. Christ taught that in Matthew chapter 19, verse 23, he said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." So it makes us, you know, cautious of some of the things that we look at as blessings that can become a stumbling block. Now Jesus does go on shortly afterward to say, "With God all things are possible." But how many things in our life that we would look at as something good could be bad, or bad end up being very good. You know, I know that this is one of those things that I'll share that maybe will sound way off and it won't make any sense, but I'll tell you anyway. Like when I look back, I'm very grateful that I wasn't more popular in high school. That I wasn't, top dog and had all these, I had very few opportunities to get in trouble is what I'm kind of getting at. Like I was, I feel like I had a pretty good head on my shoulders, but I'm also glad that there weren't more temptations sent my way when I was that age. I wasn't around a lot of stuff that could have been bad for me because, I just wasn't in those circles. And coincidentally, like this afternoon, and again, maybe this is something I shouldn't share, but it kind of caught, because I was thinking about that, and it said something like, it was online, it was something like, I hope my daughter has moderate acne from ages 14 to 23. and again, I'm not wishing those things, but I just think about myself, I had acne and I was awkward and I stayed out of a lot of trouble because of that. Not that I'm wishing those things. But I look back and I think, that wasn't something that I probably would have chosen at the time, but boy, am I glad it worked out that way. And God can work the things in our lives to be for our benefit, whether we understand it or not. And that's the thing. Like when we look at that phrase, God meant it for good, I think we can really, really trust in that. Not when it's easy, but when it's hard. And I think that's the main thing that I want to take. I hope that we can all take. That's what I wanted to take away from the lesson tonight is when we come upon those hard times, things that are difficult for us to understand, well, we can't see how this could be for our benefit, to trust that God meant it for good, just as Joseph did. It's hard for me to believe that when those things happened to Joseph, I don't know what his mindset was. I don't know that, he seems like an amazing man, and maybe he thought, this is going to build me up, and this is what God's plan for me. I hope it was, but I also know that there are times in my life where I haven't had that strength. And I pray that I will, and I pray that we all can. And I want to close with a verse that maybe you've had in your mind, and I do think this is the perfect way to sum it up. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, a verse that we should keep close to our hearts all the time. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. And so, I guess my prayer tonight for all of us is for us to look at that thing in our life that might be a challenge, that thing that we might want to change, that thing we may not appreciate right now that seems to be troubling, and pray to God for the wisdom to see how He means it for good and for us to have the courage to make it into something good in our lives, however that may be. And it may not even be for us. That may be a good for someone else who's on the outside watching, who you may never even speak to. You may never in this life understand how something that was troubling to you gave someone else strength and faith. So I pray that we can all have that tonight. If you have the needs of the church in any way, if you wish to be baptized or if you need the prayers of the church, we stand ready to assist you. If you'll come forward as we stand and sing.